Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. My co-host, Meghna Chakrabarty, is off this week. So, after 35 days in court and 72 witnesses, today it came down to three words: vicious, violent, and calculating. That's how prosecutor Fred Wyshak described admitted mobster James Whitey Bulger in his closing arguments in federal court in Boston. It marked the beginning of the end of a long trial in which Bulger is accused of racketeering, extortion, and participating in 19 murders. WBUR's Asma Khalid has been at the courthouse all day, where the defense is now delivering its closing remarks. Hi, Asma. Good to have you.
Hi, Anthony.
So 3.5 hours, that's quite a marathon. What did the jury hear from prosecutor Fred Wyshak this morning?
Well, he spent a vast majority of those 3.5 hours outlining all of the murders that Bulger is accused of committing. And he essentially raced through all the other charges. And those charges include extortion, money laundering, illegal possession of firearms, and some drug-related conspiracies. He emphasized to the jury that, you know, they shouldn't focus on Bulger's deal with the FBI. That has come up time and again, whether or not Bulger was, in fact, an FBI informant. And Prosecutor Wyshak said, you know, that's irrelevant. They needed to focus on Bulger's specific criminal activities. And I thought that he did a very good job, actually, of clearly outlining the charges against Bulger and explaining to the jury that it doesn't matter if Bulger pulled the trigger, if he was the one with the gun in the hand, because the way this is all configured is Bulger is described as the ringleader of this gang of mobsters. He can be found liable as a co-conspirator regardless of whether or not he was the one who pulled the trigger.
Now, through all this, of course, Bulger's sitting right there. Any reaction from him? Any visible reaction?
No, he's been taking notes throughout the duration of this trial, but no visible reactions from him.
And Asma, Fred Wyshak has been constructing this case against Bulger for the past 20 years or so. Did that come across, as the man who probably knows this case better than anybody?
He did. You know, I kind of got the sense at times that today he was like a PhD student who, you know, was finally giving his oral defense. He seemed a little in the weeds, but you could get the sense that he knew every minutia, every nitty-gritty detail of this case. And at times he got emotional, his voice broke. But I thought he did an excellent job of really outlining this clear strategy in which he essentially tried to preempt the defense on issues that he knew were going to come up, particularly in these sort of three big areas. One was the issue of whether or not Whitey Bulger was an FBI informant, and he sort of nipped that in the butt before it could even come up, saying that, you know, it's not important. The issue is, how could this man care more about being seen as a rat than as a murderous thug? And then the second issue is that he acknowledged for the first time that one of Bulger's former associates, John Moderano, should be in jail. And I thought that was interesting because, you know, these sort of sweetheart deals that the government has made created this sort of uncomfortable atmosphere about how the government brought this case about. And I think his acknowledgement of this in some ways bolstered the prosecution's case. And in the last case where he sort of preempted the defense, he brought up the issue of the murder of Deborah Davis. And we've heard a lot of back and forth in this trial about who actually killed Deborah Davis. Was it Whitey Bulger or was it his old buddy, Stephen Fleming? Here, the prosecution says it doesn't matter. Bulger is still liable as a co-conspirator.
Because he was there and
exactly.
And it clearly happened at his behest. So, Asma, as we speak, the defense is delivering its closing remarks, which began, a couple of hours ago? What have we heard
That's right.
so far?
Well, we've heard the defense has an interesting strategy. Both of Whitey Bulger's attorneys, Hank Brennan and J.W. Carney, are splitting up their closing arguments. And so we've heard the entirety of Hank Brennan's first portion of the defense. And he focused on the government's war against the mafia and its lack of accountability. He emphasized that Bulger's FBI handler, John Connolly, was not a rogue agent, as the government has implied. He says that this was a systemic problem within the FBI. FBI, and he really appealed to the jury's sort of patriotic duty. He says, you know, there cannot be accountability for some. The jury has to hold everyone accountable, and that includes the government. He really questioned at what point the jury, a citizen, says there has to be accountability, and he asked them, you know, it almost seemed like he was appealing for some sort of a jury nullification, and that seems to be, you know, the only way that the jury could really hold the government accountable. So that was the first part of what we heard. And then Bulger's other attorney, J.W. Carney, was focusing on the credibility of the three key witnesses that the government has brought to this trial. And all three of those are former buddies of Whitey Bulger. And he essentially said that the government bought their testimony, you know, that the witnesses sold their testimony and that the currency they used was freedom. And asked the jury to please pay attention to, you know, what these witnesses got in exchange and how credible their testimony is.
Well, that's WBUR's Asma Khalid speaking to us from the Moakley Federal Courthouse in South Boston about closing arguments in the Whitey Bulger trial, which began today. Asma Khalid, thank you so much.
Thank you.